Well, some two-thirds of American churchgoers, 67%, say that their church has done enough to become racially diverse. Less than half think their church should be more diverse. This is a problem, but how do we fix it? Hello, thinking Christians. Welcome to the Unapologetic Show, where we defend truth without compromise with Dr. Bobby Conway. I'm your host, Tim Hall. February is Black History Month, so Bobby and I wanted to, you know, make sure that we raise topics that are specifically addressing things around Black History Month. There's so much we could say. There's so many different topics that we could go into, but one of the things that we thought we would discuss is this idea of the diversity in church, particularly on Sunday morning. Martin Luther King Jr. had this famous quote that 11 o'clock is the most segregated hour in America, and we see that, based on the statistics, to be true as well today, and that's unfortunate. So we want to talk about just some things that we can be thinking about as we look at, as church leaders, as Christians, what we can be doing to help change that trend in our culture. And one of the things that with our church, Image Church, we're seeking to be more diverse, and we want to try to give some helpful insight on what we're doing in order to bring that about. Now, again, we realize the obvious that we're two white guys talking about this, but we want to stand on the truth, and we want to defend that without compromise as the Bible gives us these ideas. So, Bobby, maybe you can start with just a little bit of history. What sort of historical actions can we trace back this idea of the division on Sunday morning to?
Well, in our American context, Tim, I think we can look back and realize that you had people coming from England and migrating their way here in early America, and there was an unfortunate foundation, as we talked about last week, taking away some of the natives' land and setting up shop. But what happened at the early foundation of America is slavery was still a system that was egregiously in place. And sadly, some of the foundation in America, you had people that wrongfully saw African Americans as not fully human in the way that Caucasians are. And it almost just sounds just crazy to say that. I mean, I just think about how beautiful and special our friendships are with the African Americans that we know and love so dearly. And it's hard to think that anybody could have thought that they were not quite as human. And they were able to have them as slaves. It's heartbreaking. It is truly heartbreaking that that took place in American history. And that set up some bad foundational cracks. What started to take place then in American history as well as some of the Black churches that were set up, they would have some of their own congregational services. I mean, you had services where you had whites and then separate pews for the Blacks or the African Americans, and using the term interchangeably. I mean, no offense. Like, honestly, and that's an interesting thought as guys that are doing a church trying to make it diverse. You have some people that will prefer the term Black. Others prefer the term African American. And so it can make it a little bit tricky because you don't want to be offensive at all. And I don't mean that at all. But I'm saying you would have African Americans that would be in separate pews in white churches, and they would not get the best seats. It would be separated in the back. And then you would have African American churches, some of these early gospel churches, and you had total African American antics and some of the candor that you see, some of the culture that was created. And you could see how some of that segregation, if you were African American, Tim, you could imagine like how nice that would be to be able to go into your own context where you don't have these white people that can seem oppressive, or boy, do I want to go to a white church and sit in the back in a pew and be segregated off. It feels kind of nice to go in, and they created their own kind of culture and their own worship and their own style of music and drawing lots of language out from the Exodus narrative about deliverance. Well, that's some of the early foundation, and obviously you fast forward to some of the civil rights, MLK Jr., and some of the marches that were taking place. Well, thankfully, you know, slavery was brought to an end even preceding that. You can go to the Emancipation Proclamation with the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. And we're so thankful for that. But just because slavery was ended with the Civil War coming to an end, it's amazing. I mean, you had the North and the South, the North using the Bible to justify freeing the slaves, the South using the Bible to justify keeping the slaves in bondage. Yeah. Fortunately, the Emancipation Proclamation, the North wins, the slaves are freed, but there's still all these problems, right? The problems leak out where, you know, you have African Americans not able to vote, you still have segregation of schools, you have segregation of drinking fountains, bathrooms, riding on buses, and the church experience, and all of that plays into effect.
Yeah.
Well, then what starts happening is with MLK and some of his marches and Billy Graham doing his crusades and separating the ropes, so the dividers, so that the blacks and the whites could be together, we started seeing some progress. But it's amazing, that's 50, 60 years ago, where this was just a complete mess. And so obviously we're still cleaning up some of the debris.
Yeah. And we're going to continue talking about this as we kind of dive a little bit deeper into some of these differences and how we can, as a church, as a Christian community, as a body of Christ, that we can remedy some of that. If you are checking this out on the radio, we would invite you to listen to this as a podcast if you want to listen back. And you can find that on your favorite podcast player. So hello to all of our podcast listeners. And you can also find this on our YouTube channel. So youtube.com/oneminuteapologist. You can find the whole back catalog of all of the unapologetic shows. I think we're on show 65, Bobby. We're fantastic.
That? Yeah, that's really cool, bro.
So you can check out the other 64 episodes on there as well. And they're also on our podcast. You can consider liking this on YouTube and also subscribing to our YouTube channel. We'd love to have you there. So one of these ideas that we need to talk about when it comes to diversity is that people like the idea of diversity, and I think maybe we can define what that is here in just a second, but they don't necessarily like being around different people. Now, that's an Ed Stetzer quote, who's the executive director of Nashville, a research firm. He said that the people like this idea of diversity, but they just don't like being around different people. So I think we need to define what it means when we're talking about diversity. Now, we've talked specifically about the diversity between, you know, blacks and whites or people of color, but there's more diversity that I think we just kind of need to elucidate in that idea of diversity. So how would you define diversity in this kind of conversation?
Well, help me to understand a little bit what you're wanting me to define. So
yeah,
diversity, to me, I would just define diversity as diversity.
Right. It's different. Well, there's like, you know, there's age diversity. So there's a difference of age. There could be a difference of cultural background.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Diversity. So we're like, we're talking about, we want the church to be diverse. What all does that entail?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, it's always good to be clear for our listeners on that. Cause I knew we were talking about racial diversity.
Right.
So I thought, okay, so diversity, racial diversity, but we're talking about, how do we get this to take place in the church?
Yeah.
Well, I think that we have to want it. Mm. I think we have to recognize that it's important. You see in the Bible, the church at Ephesus, it's a highly diverse culture right there. Right. Acts chapter 19, you have the church at Ephesus. This was a diverse culture. God values diversity. Now, I recognize that there are some people that can't have a diverse church experience because maybe they're in a rural white area or a rural African American area or a rural Hispanic area. But that doesn't mean that we can't still value diversity.
Right.
And so, you know, we talk about an image church, and you're exactly right. We want to be diverse in all ways. We want to be diverse as it relates to ethnicity. We want to be diverse in age, socioeconomic, left brain, right brain.
Right.
We want to be a diverse culture. Right. And I think that's what's important. So it's not just, hey, having black and white. It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be you know, clicky as a church. It's really important. So on a practical level, there's lots of things that we can talk about that we strive to do. Mm. But what it means to be diverse as a church, I think that we should value diversity on all fronts. So I've heard of churches before that, hey, once you hit 35, you're no longer allowed to play on the worship team. Mm. I'm thinking, what in the world is that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can't be on the worship team. So God can't use your worship gifts because you don't look young.
Right.
And I mean, I think a church should have old and young,
yeah,
rich and poor, black and white. It should have a lot of that diversity.
Right.
And I think that sometimes people aren't able to have as much diversity because they might be in a poor community that's primarily white, or they might be in an elderly community, and that's fine. And so we can even talk about ways that we can show that we value diversity, even though it might not be able to be realized in our context.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So what do you think some things that the layperson, the non-church leader, can do to help end this idea of segregation in the church?
You know, I think that we can have people come into the church and you can pulpit swap. That's one thing that can be good.
Yeah.
So maybe build a relationship. If you're a white pastor, build a relationship with an African American church or Hispanic church and pulpit swap.
Yeah.
And allow their worship team to come in and lead you in worship, and have your worship team go over and lead in worship. So that's one thing. I think that allowing people to be aware of the books that are out there that are written, where people can read things, like maybe reading Letters from a Birmingham Jail.
Yeah.
It's a short piece. It's, I think, less than 100 pages.
Yeah.
Just reading that and becoming familiar with it. Right now, it's Black History Month. I know some African Americans don't like that because they feel like, hey, you know, what they want is their story to be part of history,
right,
not just a month. And right, I'm sympathetic to that.
Yeah.
But I'd say even Black History Month, showing how we value diversity. You know, what we're doing at Image Church right now, you know, we're striving to be a diverse church. Mm-hmm. We have a guy that's African-American. It used to be a lead pastor. His name's Paxton Reed. And, you know, we have him preach for me.
Yeah.
He does a great job.
Amazing job, yeah.
We have a family that has a nonprofit organization called Eyes. And this is an African-American family. I'm interviewing them this weekend to talk to us about their ministry for helping diversity take place. One of the things that we've done is we use the video series put together by Matt Chandler and Brian Laritz.
Yeah.
And we took several weeks of going through that curriculum with Image Church and having people in our congregations get together and talk about these black on white issues. We partnered with another church pastor named Theo at Grace Church.
Yeah.
And him and I had a panel discussion where we talked about these issues and talked about how the gospel is what reconciles us.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a lot of strategic moves. Another thing that we do on Sunday mornings is we show Maverick City music videos and we worship to that because we say, this is what we aspire to have this kind of diverse worship experience. So I think we can show videos. If you don't know of a local pastor, show a video of Tony Evans preaching on a Sunday morning. If you're doing a women's study, like what our women did, we went through a study and what was the lady's name? Conway Edwards' wife.
I'm drawing a blank right now. Yeah.
Jada Edwards.
Yeah.
So Jada Edwards is an African-American lady. Well, we had our women go through Jada Edwards' curriculum. So we're always looking for ways to show that we're not trying to be just this white church,
right?
And so I think that those kind of strategic moves can help. Praying about diversity, asking the Lord to help you to be a diverse culture, all those things can go a long ways in helping that to take place.
Yeah. I'll kind of add on a couple things. Everything you said, I thought was fantastic. I mean, just in my conversations, you know, with Paxton and other people that are, you know, seeking diversity. So again, that's a panoply of different people that I've had these conversations with. Part of one of the things I think that, you know, lay people can do is that they can set aside some of their maybe cultural desires when it comes to things like worship or when it comes to preaching styles or something like that. They can say, hey, for the sake of the unity of the gospel, as we want to continue to look like we will and have we want our churches to you know, exemplify what worship is going to be like in heaven, where there's going to be this ethnic diversity, that we can set our things down that we might want, our preferences down, yes, in that sense, and invite good other things in. I think something else that we can do is that we can have conversations where we're just listening to people that are different than us, culturally or ethnically, and just hear what they have to say and understand and sympathize with where they're coming from, and seek to try to then live those commonalities out in our lives and in the gospel, being open with inviting people into our homes that aren't necessarily like us. And so I think those are some other things that I think we can do. Particularly, I see, as someone that was employed at a predominantly African-American church as a youth pastor for a period of time, some of the differences I think that lead to the idea of segregation, or lead to the actual segregation on Sunday morning, are cultural differences. So for you, Bobby, what role do you think cultural differences kind of play in that trend of segregation, and how do we work on some of those?
So I don't think all, you know, segregated churches is necessarily a bad thing, yeah, right? Like, there are churches that are white, or there are churches that are black, or there are churches that are Hispanic, and it's not because they're racist.
Yeah.
It's just maybe, like I talked about earlier, that by nature of their location, it is what it is.
Right.
Now, I'm also sympathetic, though, that there are certain expressions that people have. I mean, like, you think about the African-American church. I mean, I love some of the videos where you'll see some of the elderly ladies, they're up in their dresses and their top hats, and they're in the aisle doing their dances and getting with it. And then you try to picture you in the aisle as this right, white dude doing the dance. Yeah. You know, that might not happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But what you said is so crucial, though. I think that what we need to realize is these preferences that we have, there's, while we might like being in our, you know, comfort zone with right, African Americans or whites or Hispanics, because we have our own culture,
yeah,
and it works for us, I think that that is a statement about we have our own preferences. And as you know, what we try to reinforce at Image Church is it's not about our preferences.
Right.
We need to show up on Sunday like people come, oh, I want this kind of worship, or I want this. And I'm going, I would rather see the value of diverse worship experience, mm-hmm, even though mm-hmm, I might have certain songs that I'm more connected to.
Yeah.
And I would rather have two songs that I'm connected to, maybe, and two that I'm not, for the sake of having a four-songed worship experience of being unified.
Right.
Now, I happen to be one of those guys that I really enjoy the spirit of the African-American culture, yeah, and their dancing and their, I think that the white church needs that.
Yeah.
We need to open up. We're very reserved. We need to get together, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that there's so much value that comes in bringing our cultures together and learning from each other. And it helps us to be more empathetic. It helps us to be less judgmental. It helps us to be less self-righteous. It helps us to be more understanding, more yeah, compassionate, all those values. When we just design a service that's all about our appetites, mm-hmm, it creates selfishness, it creates better than mentality, it creates cliques, and I want to break all that down in the name of Jesus. So I think every church should aspire to be a diverse church, though I realize, again, because of some locations, they might not be able to, but what they can do is, instead of just creating churches all about everyone's preferences, you could be in a church in a rural area and be showing different video pieces of, yeah, of the way that people worship in different cultures,
yeah,
so that you're learning to not think it's all about your preferences.
Yeah, I want to tell a quick story,
sure,
about my experience working at the Missionary Baptist Church. I got an opportunity to lead worship, and again, I am the only white person on stage with this band, and it was a great experience, right? Yeah. And so there's 12, you know, gospel vocalists just, you know, lined up behind me, and they're just rocking it out. Well, during the announcements, the pastor Redrick got up, and he was talking about a future sermon series that they were going to go into during the announcements. announcements, and the sermon series was titled Stairway to Heaven. And I don't know if this was a joke, I don't know if it was planned, or if it was just my own ignorance, but it was hilarious. And so he turned to the band, which I was a part of, and he said, isn't there a song called Stairway to Heaven? Well, immediately I started playing the Led Zeppelin, the honky white, you know, the white guy version of Stairway to Heaven, and the African-American band launched into this old-timey Stairway to Heaven hymn, right? And I started playing the guitar, and everyone just kind of looked at me, and the whole place just erupted up laughing, because there was a significant cultural difference between what I understood the song Stairway to Heaven to be and what everybody else on the stage knew the song Stairway to Heaven to be. And we just had a great laugh riot about just that difference. And I said, man, I want to know that. I want to know that there are other songs out there called Stairway to Heaven that I just don't know, some gospel songs or whatever that I just don't know. And that was, it was a beautiful, funny moment. Everyone laughed. Again, I don't think it was planned. I don't think they meant to roast me, but it was just a cultural difference.
Dude, that is hilarious. That reminds me, when I was a kid, I showed up at a Catholic church and everybody was greeting one another. And I thought that they were saying, pleased to meet you. Mm. So I was walking around saying, pleased to meet you, pleased to meet you. And my friends were dying laughing because they were saying, peace be with you, peace be with you. And I was just revealing how unchurched I was. Well, I would have done the same thing. I would have went in to some Led Zeppelin as well, Tim. But exactly, this is why we need to be around each other. You know, last night, our dear friends, Frank and Michelle Strong, well, Michelle Strong was at the women's study, and I was talking to her about Black History Month, and she says to me, as an African-American woman, she taught me last night, she said, I actually don't like Black History Month because I feel like I want our history to be a part of American history, not just in this month. And I thought, well, thank you for sharing that perspective, you know, because it's important that we're listening to one another to hear each other's hearts. And she's such a special gem. I'm so thankful for the privilege. Like I can say, one of my best friends in the world is Brian Loritz. And Brian has quite the platform. I mean, he speaks with Matt Chandler and Francis Chan and David Platt and all these guys. Yeah. He's one of the greatest African-American preachers in our culture today. And Brian happens to be on the board of directors at Image Church, and we've been dear friends for years now. And I first got this real burden because he invited me out to Memphis to speak at his church many years ago. And he, right in the heartbeat of Memphis, was doing a diverse church. And it was beautiful. They brought me in, and I just got a vision for it. I saw about 50% white, 50% African-American. I saw Black and white connected, doing life together. And I thought, I felt like I was at home. I just loved it. Absolutely loved it. And God gave me a burden for it in the midst of COVID to start a church, to come out here. And we've been doing this now, Tim, together for over a year at Image Church. And it is so much fun to see what God's doing. It is so rewarding to feel like we're making a difference in a culture that's got some racial tension. To be able to say, but we don't have to because the, and you know, the funny thing too, that is we don't walk around talking a lot about race issues at Image Church. We just do life together, but we're freed up to talk about issues if we want, because we've built the relational capital. And that's what I would say. It's bigger than just having a conversation. It's doing life together. And so, like, you know, Denise Young in our church, and we've got the Prins in our church. Well, Denise Young is African-American. The Prins are white. Well, they had Denise Young over for dinner a couple nights ago. And that's what's happening at our church, where it's not just we show up for the sake of, hey, let's just be together for the appearance sake on Sunday morning. No, we've got people inviting each other into their homes. We're doing life together. And that's what makes it beautiful.
Well, and again, I think that to undergird all of that, I think it starts with you wanting to do that, with you wanting to step in, and I mean you, the kind of the global you there, wanting to step into a place that you're unsure of, maybe just culturally, and say, let's do this, right? And I think that that's the other thing that we can talk about is how it's possible, right? And it's not super hard. There's not some grand key to unlock this whole thing. It's just stepping in and saying, man, we want to do this.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think it's fantastic. So yeah, we realize that there is the segregation on Sunday morning. There are several reasons. We've covered a lot of them, but I think we can walk towards ending that if we, you know, unify under the gospel, if we're understanding that it's possible that we can do it, and we're open and we're listening to other people that are diverse and different than us. Any closing thoughts or final words?
No, I think that what we've covered was sufficient. I think what you said is, you know, we're two white guys talking about how to do a diverse church, but at the same token, what if it was two African-Americans talking about how to do a diverse church, right? The thing is, it's our heart's desire is to be diverse.
Right.
And I just would encourage people today to think of an applicable way that you could start praying for God to help you to have more diverse relationships in your life.
Amen. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode of The Unapologetic Show. As I mentioned earlier, you can find this on your favorite podcast player and listen back at any time. If you are checking us out on the radio, we would love for you to support this show by liking it on YouTube, checking it out on podcasts. And for everybody, if you are interested in continuing this show or seeing this show continue, we would ask for your support. And you can do that by heading on over to 1MinuteApologist.com and click on donate. With that, we will meet you next time on The Unapologetic Show.
You've been listening to Unapologetic with Dr. Bobby Conway, the 1 Minute Apologist. I am your host, Tim Hall. Be sure to listen to Bobby on Pastor's Perspective Monday through Thursday, as well as like, share, and subscribe to the 1 Minute Apologist YouTube channel, where we have over 1,000 videos. We would also like to remind you that this is a listener-supported program. We would greatly appreciate your support in any amount so we could continue to provide this ministry. If you would like to be a part of our team in any capacity, please visit our website at 1MinuteApologist.com. And while you're there, check out all of Bobby's books, courses, and even invite him to speak at your church or event. Thank you for listening to Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.